Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of all, good evening. Welcome to Update, where we'll give you a rundown of the day's main news. So coming up before 5.30, there are calls for stronger laws to protect against partner violence on the Isle of Man. Also tonight, public health is urging pregnant women to be vaccinated against whooping cough. A UK business wins a legal challenge against government over the letters TT. We'll also bring you tonight news from today's Countering Financial Crime Conference that has been taking place at the Villa Marina. And as schools return, one MHK is campaigning to put ice cream back on the menu for primary pupils. We'll have that, the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch, you'd be very welcome. You can email the studio, studio@manxradio.com, or text 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the news headlines with Dave Fastamai.
Fastamai. A 20-year-old Douglas man will be sentenced next month after admitting dangerous driving. Dylan Ricky Brown of Somerset Road was filmed by a member of the public driving a blue Land Rover Discovery on Battery Pier at 9:05 on the evening of May the 14th. A competitor at the Classic TT is calling on the organisers of the event to become creative in a bid to avoid cancellations. In a post on social media, Sam West claims this year was an anti-climax as he didn't get to compete on his Ducati. The Isle of Man currently doesn't have a legal requirement to age restrict the sale of energy drinks. In England, plans have been announced to ban anyone under the age of 16 from buying the products. Elsewhere, the UK Deputy Prime Minister has admitted not paying enough stamp duty on the purchase of a new flat, but denies she was trying to dodge tax. Sir Keir Starmer's backed Angela Rayner, who says she was given the wrong advice over her complex arrangements and considered packing in politics. A rapist who staged his own death has been found guilty at the High Court in Glasgow after being tracked down in Spain. 57-year-old James Clacker was running yoga classes on the beach when he was arrested and told police he'd survived on berries and puddle water while initially on the run. And Nigel Farage has compared the UK to North Korea during an appearance before US lawmakers. The reform leader has been speaking out about the arrest of Father Ted writer Graham Linehan over social media posts. Those are the Update News headlines. The next bulletin is at 6.
Thank you very much, Dave. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So bright or sunny intervals this evening, just isolated showers. It was raining a lot this morning, wasn't it? Mostly dry overnight as well, mainly moderate westerly winds. So the overnight temperatures will be around 11. And tomorrow, mainly dry and bright, sunny intervals, an increasing risk of a few showers in the afternoon and evening. Light to moderate, mainly westerly winds, and a highest temperature tomorrow of around 17. And on Friday, a pretty similar picture, bright or sunny spells, light winds, and highest temperatures again around 17. So sunset this evening will be at 8:05. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 6:31.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
TE Cubbon provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway Douglas or call 844 440. TE Cubbon, here when you need us.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made-to-measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bondfabrics.in.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452-688.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from £199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
You're listening to Update. It's just coming up to 5:04. A Manx resident is calling on the Isle of Man government to introduce a law that aims to reduce partner violence. Now, Clare's Law is a domestic violence disclosure scheme which essentially designates ways for police officers to disclose a person's history of abusive behaviour to those who may be at risk. It is currently implemented across England and Wales as well as in Jersey. And this woman, who will remain anonymous, believes it's an important law to have over here.
I've been a victim of domestic violence twice on the Isle of Man. Living in such a small place, rumours circulate and it's hard to know what to believe. Unfortunately, when it comes to domestic violence, you often don't find out the truth until it's too late. I was trapped in a violent relationship for 5 years, resulted in a traumatic brain injury, a condition called post-concussive syndrome, and now affects my speech and short-term memory, Recently, I found myself in another abusive relationship and I've only just managed to leave. Clare's Law, officially known as the Domestic Violence Disclosure Scheme, is in the UK and has just been brought out in Jersey. It needs implemented in the Isle of Man to safeguard our community. Domestic violence just doesn't affect those in a relationship, it impacts families, friends and the wider community. By introducing Clare's Law in the Isle of Man, we can take a proactive step in preventing violence and enhancing community safety. We need to create a safe environment for everyone and ensure that no one else has to endure what I have gone through.
Well, the Chief Executive of Victim Support Isle of Man says police already use common law disclosure to alert people if they believe they're at risk. Lorna Trevethan told us that in the past 12 months, the organisation has received 287 referrals of domestic abuse.
What we're trying to aim for is people being aware of what domestic abuse is and its many guises and how we can then support those different types of abuse because it's not all physical. A lot of what we see is coercive control. You know, they use violence as a means of coercion. So it's there pretty much in every case of domestic abuse. But we do find that people are very manipulative. And obviously, you know, there's the financial control, it's the emotional control, it's the actual control of where someone can go, the stalking, the tracking. So yes, it is it is the most common form that we see. And obviously there's legislation in place, obviously, for that as a separate offence. And we are actually getting successful prosecutions under that that legislation, which is fantastic from our point of view and obviously from the police's side.
There's been a petition that's been created calling for Clare's Law to be implemented here on the Isle of Man. What's your views or your thoughts on that?
Police already are using common law disclosure to disclose to people they believe to be at risk of an individual. And they do that in a very careful and professional way to ensure the person's safety and also the alleged perpetrator's safety as well. So I feel at the moment that is sufficient for the Isle of Man.
That is the Chief Executive of Victim Support Isle of Man, Lorna Trevethan, talking to Chanel. Well, in response to all of this, the Department of Home Affairs says the police already use common law powers to make disclosures where appropriate and when a person is thought to be at risk of harm. They say this is similar to the scheme that existed in England and Wales prior to the introduction of the Domestic Abuse Act of Parliament and was called Clare's Law or the Domestic Violence Disclosure Scheme. And you can find that full statement at manxradio.com. 7.5 minutes past five. Well, the Countering Financial Crime Conference has been taking place at the Villa Marina today, featuring a number of special guest speakers and panels. Justice and Home Affairs Minister Jane Paul Wilson says it's been a really interesting day, especially with the latest Moneyval assessment on the horizon.
As a jurisdiction, as an international financial centre, it's absolutely vital for us that we maintain our strong economy and our security. And that does mean it's an ongoing effort around financial crime. So we've got really interesting speakers. The first presentation this morning was from the FBI, and they gave us a really interesting case study around an insurance scam, except on a grand scale, with, you know, acquiring large companies and then stripping out the assets and using it for personal gain. But what was fascinating about it was how they could talk about, once the federal agency had gone in and investigated, they could put together all the jigsaw pieces and build the picture of the entirety of the fraud and criminality. Whereas individual players in the financial system, whether banks or the insurance companies themselves and so on, perhaps they couldn't see the whole picture. And so a really strong theme that's coming across from a lot of our presentations today, and that I think will speak to everybody in the room, is as an island, as an industry sector, with lots of government agencies, collaboration is absolutely key, working together, understanding collectively the types of risk that we may encounter, and knowing as well that in a fast-moving world, those risks can evolve rapidly. So understanding that risk and then importantly developing how do we respond, how do we try and keep up with or even move ahead of the risks to our island.
That's a Justice and Home Affairs Minister, Jane Paul Wilson. You can hear more about the conference and actually what Moneyval actually entails in Breakfast tomorrow from 6. Coming up to 10 past 5, and a small UK business has won a legal challenge from the Isle of Man government. Now, Target Therapies is a massage and wellness company based in Basingstoke, and it's secured trademark rights to use its name and logo. The Isle of Man government objected to the firm's application to use the letters TT, citing a conflict with the motorcycle races. The business also faced a challenge from a US retailer who objected to their use use of their name Target Therapies. Now, the company's founder is Nick Claxon, and he's been talking to Dave.
From where we actually registered the trademarks through, they then sent a rather staunch letter to say, look, we couldn't use it, and that there would be no further discussion really around it. It really felt a complete stoppage point. It was because we were quite, well, determined to be successful and so forth that we really had to look hard as to how we were going to get around this.
Who was the letter from?
It was from the Isle of Man government, their solicitors. They were very much saying that we couldn't use the name TT, which we'd been using for quite some time, in the manner that we wanted to. And of course, we were saying that we're only using it in effectively our massage services, some display of signage that we use, and on some of the materials. So it was quite tricky to understand quite what the opposition would be. But I did understand from their letter that they said, look, it was due to the TT motorbike racing on the Isle of Man. And of course, we're not actually on the Isle of Man ourselves. So it was a bit of a surprise.
So you decided to fight this challenge?
Well, absolutely. We didn't know what else to do but not do it, because we were determined to really bring our business to the forefront. And, you know, like many massage businesses which had gone through COVID, where we weren't allowed to treat to a very high extent, we'd got through that. So we were determined to be successful and to continue our growth track.
Eventually, you won. How did the case go?
It was quite good from one point of view, in that we went to our solicitors and how we were using the trademark and how they were using it, and agreed that we weren't going to go into the business of motorbike racing and so forth. And as long as we stayed within our area of massage, then that should be a way to move it forwards.
That's Target Therapies founder Nick Claxon talking to Dave Moore. The Department for Enterprise has been contacted for comment. 5:12, and the Isle of Man's public health team is urging vaccination against whooping cough after the death of a baby in the United Kingdom early this year. Amy Griffiths reports.
Whooping cough is a highly contagious infection that affects the lungs and breathing tubes. Early symptoms, such as a runny nose or sore throat, can resemble a common cold, but after about a week, prolonged bouts of coughing typically develop. These coughing fits can be accompanied by a distinctive whoop sound as people struggle for breath between coughs. While anyone can catch the disease, unvaccinated babies and young children are particularly vulnerable. In severe cases, whooping cough can lead to complications including dehydration, breathing difficulties, pneumonia and seizures, and in rare cases, it can be fatal. Public health officials say vaccination remains the most effective protection against the illness. However, uptake of the free vaccine has declined in recent years, contributing to a rise in cases across the British Isles. The advice is that pregnant women should be offered the whooping cough vaccine from 16 weeks of pregnancy. Babies should then receive two doses of the vaccine at 8 weeks and 12 weeks of age, and then a final preschool booster at around 3 years and 4 months old, regardless of whether their mother was vaccinated during pregnancy, alongside other routine childhood immunisations. GPs and midwives can provide advice and arrange vaccination. Further details on the Isle of Man's maternal vaccination schedule are available on the government website.
Amy Griffiths reporting. Well, meanwhile, vaccines can be life-saving, according to a pharmacist on the Isle of Man. Nick Kay is from Kingsley Mooty Pharmacy in Ballasalla. He was on Man and Live at lunchtime, and he says while immunisations can give invaluable protection from illnesses, it is important to do your research first.
I think it's right to be aware of what you're taking, but, you know, having seen some stuff back across of children dying with whooping cough and measles, they're horrible, right? As a dad of five, that's not something I want my kids to go through. So I think it's right to sort of bear those things in mind and keep them balanced.
That's the important thing, is that once upon a time, and obviously with COVID, there was a whole raft of people talking about the efficacy and sometimes the morals of vaccinations. However, up until then, people ran towards them. I mean, do you think COVID did jabs a bad turn?
Yeah, I mean, there's a thing which we called, isn't it? People describe it as vaccine fatigue, you know, where people just, you know, not another jab, not another jab. I mean, I was fortunate enough to co-chair a lecture at the Royal Society, which was really interesting, which was talking about some sort of vaccines that are coming. So everyone will have heard about antimicrobial resistance and the fact that antibiotics don't work. So actually, if you can create a vaccine against some of those really problematic bacterial infections, I mean, people will understand about pneumonia jabs, then actually actually, if you don't need the antibiotics to treat it because your own immune system zapped it because you've had a vaccine, then actually antibiotic resistance becomes less of a problem. So it's really important to be aware of what's going in your body. It's really important to take the right advice from clinicians that you trust, but actually be really balanced in that view. Some vaccines, obviously, in my professional and personal opinion, are life-saving and important.
That's pharmacist Nick Kay, who's talking to Andy at lunchtime. You can watch that back, actually, on the Manx Radio website or on our social media pages.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
One other thing to report on the police pages, which is always good. It's the usual traffic lights that we've been hearing about this week in Douglas. They are at the bottom end of Derby Road. They're also on Saddle Road for wall repairs. In Peel, Glenfaber Road is closed. That's for the new sewage treatment plant. And in St John's, all this week, there are temporary lights at the junction with Station Road and Patrick Road. And in Laxey, temporary lights on Ramsey Road near the Menorca Crossroads. That's for wall and bank work. Down at the airport, a couple of delays, so worth having a look at there if you are planning on picking somebody up or heading somewhere this evening. The steam packet, the Manxman, due into Douglas at 6:15, and the Mananan due in Liverpool at 6:45.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
It's 16 minutes past five, and a Douglas man is going to be sentenced next month after admitting dangerous driving. Dylan Ricky Brown of Somerset Road was caught on video by a member of the public driving a blue Land Rover Discovery on Battery Pier at 9:05pm on the 14th of May. Siobhan Fletcher reports.
The footage showed a person lying on the car's roof and another on the bonnet whilst the vehicle was in motion. In an interview, the 20-year-old told police he drove as he thought they would get off and argued it was the least dangerous of the stuff that happens in the area. His advocate confirmed those on the car were friends of Brown's and described all of those involved as acting like idiots. He added that the then teenager had bowed to peer pressure and did not appreciate the consequences of driving in that manner. During an appearance at Douglas Courthouse, Brown pleaded guilty to the offence. In deciding a venue for sentence, the prosecution argued that Brown should be dealt with in the Court of General Jail Delivery, describing the incident as a deliberate and dangerous decision to ignore the rules of the road. But Deputy High Bailiff Rachel Braidwood retained jurisdiction, saying his friends have voluntarily put themselves in that position and argued it showed stupidity rather than any real malice. A social inquiry report will be prepared before Brown's next court appearance on the 21st of October.
Siobhan Fletcher reporting there. You're listening to Update on Manx Radio, 17 and a half minutes past five. OK, a Douglas MHK is demanding that locally produced ice cream remains on the primary school menu. John Wonenberg has told the Education Minister Daphne Kane that dropping the Davidson's product for what are seen as healthier options is a mistake.
I think ice cream is very much a rite of passage for any young person going through school. It is a treat, absolutely, it shouldn't be done every day, but there's no harm whatsoever incorporating ice cream into a healthy eating menu.
When you and I went to school, I suppose we ran around a lot. We didn't have these little gizmos that we sat down and looked at. These days, isn't life much more sedentary for school children? Do they need as much input?
Well, my view is, of course they need it. Yes. Why would they not need ice cream? I mean, every child would love a bowl of ice cream. I mean, let's, you know, common sense needs to prevail. There is no reason why it shouldn't be included. This is a case of classic overreach by a government department. You know, and we just need to keep sight of what is right for the kids. And fruit may be wonderful, and it's right, of course it is, but there is nothing wrong with a bowl of ice cream.
You have had a reply from Daphne Kane, who's basically said, we're going ahead with it.
Well, of course. And she was good enough to reply. And I don't lose sight of the fact that she's put a lot of hard work into changing and improving the menus. It's a locally award-winning produced product. Why would we not want to support local producers?
You've suggested perhaps have it on a Friday.
Well, you can have it on any day as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, that's a starting point. Friday's always a good day.
That is ice cream fan John Wonenberg, MHK, talking to John there. In response, the Education Minister Daphne Kane says the changes are an ongoing project and all feedback will be listened to. 19 minutes past five, and a local dad who campaigned for new equipment in Governors Hill play area says it's great Douglas Council has started to invest in it, but still feels more needs to be done. Now, Richard Little started this campaign to put pressure on the local authority to resolve some long-standing issues at the park, including problems with the flooring, improving picnic benches and routine maintenance. The council has promised funding for the play area to refurbish the facility in 2027 and has also implemented a five-year play area master plan to cover all playgrounds in the capital. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has been talking to Mr. Little.
Ideally, the park to be totally refurbished and rebuilt from the ground up is what the goal is, because the equipment there, it's a bit dated and not really fit for purpose, and it's coming up to its end of life. The manufacturers say it's well-maintained version of that equipment should last about 30 years. It's coming up to 30 years now, so it's great that council are going to rebuild that park, because it's such a key area and it's used by so many people, right between two schools, very family, heavily orientated area. So it's great news. It's 2 years away. What that budget is for that particular part wasn't disclosed to me, but I know they're going to need a significant amount to rebuild a new park. So 2 years' time, we'll wait and see.
Would you just be able to explain what you've been told by the council with regards to the short-term and the long-term plans for the park?
Yeah, the short term, I want to see the park made safe, basically. They have started to do the flooring, the really severe flooring that's been a trip hazard for a long time has now been addressed. However, there is still a lot of flooring issues there. Kids run around, toddlers run around. There's huge gaps between this rubber mat and flooring and the tarmac that is just not really safe. Apparently, that is in the current work process to get fixed. But, you know, it's been all summer now, so hopefully any day now. And the actual shackles, it looks like the shackles for the chains and the swings have been replaced, those that need replacing, replaced by ones that are actually fit for purpose this time. So that's good. Making safe until 2027 is the minimum of what we expect. I have seen addition of two park benches, which is absolutely great. It makes the area, instead of just a park, a more family, more welcoming area. People can turn up with their picnics. Somewhere that people can actually sit and get together now. The older kids, somewhere to have a sit and have a chat. For me, it's great that they're going to do this new park, but the way the park is reviewed currently, it's currently looked at, reviewed once every 2 weeks, which is great. I've done a freedom information request to ask for what these reviews entail, and all I've been sent is a date, basically. Every 2 weeks is just like yes, no, just yes, the park has been reviewed. Not what that review entails. It's just a date, and then it's happened. So with this new park, I really hope that their review process is looked at.
That is Richard Little, who's been campaigning for improvements to the play area in Governors Hill, and we have contacted Douglas Council for a response. 22 and a half minutes past five, and it's hoped an event taking place later this month will give Manx authors a chance to talk about having their work published. Among this year's visiting guests for Manx Litfest is literary agent Kate Nash, and she represents Manx author Joanne Clegg. This is an annual celebration of writing, and it's taking place between the 23rd and the 28th of September. One of the organisers, Reiki Bennett, has been talking to Howard Kane.
That's one of the reasons why one of our returning events is always Writers' Day on the Saturday. That's a full day of talks and workshops and panels, and it's aimed at everyone who's an aspiring author or a writer. We've got folks from all over the island who attend for that, and we've got people who are just starting out their writing journey, all the way up to people who are published with book deals under their belt and just want to come along and immerse themselves in the community and learn a little bit more about writing. And we've got Joanne Clegg, who's another amazing local author. She's doing a workshop with her agent, Kate Nash, is coming over as well. They're going to be doing a workshop together for us at Writers' Day. We've also got Sue King, who's got her amazing new cookbook out. Joe Davis, like you said, Michael Manning is doing the poetry for us on the Sunday. We're incredibly lucky with the Manx community who are able to like pull behind us. And yeah, we've got an amazing talent pool on this island.
And you mentioned Kate Nash there, and again, that's a great chance. You can sort of book a pitch with Kate, I think, and really learn if you're as you say, if you have written stuff, you're doing things, you're thinking, I wonder how I get it out there, this is a great chance to find out.
That's exactly it, because it's not a chance that you really have on the island to, you know, go and network with literary agents and stuff. A lot of them are, well, most of them based across, a lot of them in London and things like that. And it is a unique opportunity for you to be able to get one-to-one feedback on your writing, on your submission, if you are looking to publish, if you are just wanting a bit of feedback on what you're doing with it, how to prepare for maybe putting it out in the wider world. It is a wonderful way to get a little bit of feedback from it. And we've had some wonderful success stories from it, people who have talked to an agent and, you know, been able to then go out and start pushing themselves forward and start looking towards publication.
That's Reiki Bennett talking to Howard Kane. You can hear more about that in Spotlight immediately after Update. Okay, so it's coming up to 5:25, sport time now with Darren. Good evening.
Good evening. Starting with football, the second round of the Canada Life Premier League and Arden and Drogon Division 2 took place last night. Three teams maintained a perfect record in the top division. Rushen, Corinthians and Laxey all moved to 6 points. The Bala Fletcher side had another heavy scoring game as they beat Braddon 8-3 after their 6-1 win over Union Mills on Saturday. Meanwhile, Ayr and Peel remain unbeaten after the sides played out a 3-all draw. Division 2 saw Castletown and Paul Rose also win their first two games of the season. They beat Douglas and District and Douglas Royal respectively. The combination sides will play their games this evening. You can view all of the results last night at manxradio.com. Sticking with football, Isle of Man Division 2 sides are set to face each other three times this season. The decision comes after Douglas Athletic, Michael United and Gymnasium announced they would be only be entering combination teams for the season. As it stands, clubs in the Arden and Drogon Division 2 were only due to play 18 games, however they'll now play 27. It also affects combination sides, which means each team will play 36 games in total. The move comes after consultation with the clubs involved and the league management committee. Committee Chairman and FA President Tony Meppham said, following feedback from the clubs involved, the overall agreement is that playing more football is the better option. And finally, there was success for Ireland Archers in Scotland over the weekend. Leslie Slight, Rose Sandilands and John Anguiglione all took part in the Scottish National Field Archery Championships. Leslie took gold in the adult traditional recurve class, breaking the Scottish record in the field round by 32 points. Meanwhile, John won the senior freestyle compound and Rose took gold in the veteran freestyle unlimited class. She also set a new Scottish record for the Hunter round. The tournament took place in Cluny Fife on Saturday and Sunday with over 90 competitors involved.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. And for all the latest sports news, you can go to manxradio.com. We've also got the sport Facebook page as well. So all the very latest results are on there. There's also the sports cast. So we do those interviews and very often we can't play all of them on air, but the full interviews are available on the sports cast. There's also the newscast as well. So anything that we play here, we put the longer interviews online. So you can go and feast on that and have loads of fun. Now, coming up next, it is Spotlight with Howard Kane, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council. We're going to hear more about Litfest, as I say, but also, we'll find out how musical chairs could actually be good for your well-being. Who knew that, huh? Also coming up after that, it will be Chris Kinley with Greatest Hits from 6 p.m. From 9, it's Ernie's Eclectic, and then Dave Moore will be here with After Hours from 10. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. We'll be back with breakfast for you from 6 a.m. tomorrow.